Today's Perek in Tanakh is Melachim Aleph Perek Chof. So we discussed yesterday how Eliyahu HaNavi split off from the Malchut Achav, and that the synthesis that we were looking for was not really achieved. And then instead Eliyahu HaNavi becomes a repository of what it is that Israel is meant to become, as it ultimately grows through the next hundreds of years of Galut, and provides constant foil to Malchut Yisrael in order to push things in a direction and to provide an alternative to a Malchut that's supposed to include both the temporal and the spiritual development of Am Yisrael. Clearly at this point there's a split. That's why Eliyahu HaNavi is there all the time in our identity, whether it's in terms of the Brit Milah, which he himself had recognized as the, when he put his head between his knees, as the Medrash says, that's what he meant by between his knees. When we open up the door on Pesach, the time of our identity, when we sit and create a Kisei Shel Eliyahu at every Brit Milah, he was the one, as the Medrash puts it, you're always being mechanical. Starting off as Pinchas, so this is why we see him as one identity that stretches over the entire history of Yisrael, because that's the point of Shemira. It's very similar to the idea of the Leviathan. There needs to be an ongoing Livui to what it is that Bnei Yisrael mean. The same way there needs to be a Livui, what is creation about? And at the end of creation, you have the Achil of the Leviathan, so to speak. Because now there's a vindication and a recognition and a connection to all of the elements that were there continually as part of that creation. In terms of Malchut, the element of Malchut has a counterpart in the Viyut. We've seen that all along. In David, it was unified. And where David, Elu Divrei David, spoke about the vision that David had. But at this point, because of the breakdown, as we saw that Yirmiyahu is giving us here in the whole description of how the book develops, the breakdown of the Malchut, we've seen that now we had to separate out the simple elements of Malchut that would have been the same all over the world, whether it's of Yisrael or Lahavdil, the Umot HaOlam, as the Medrash puts it, the Me'isa in Malchut Beit David is a Me'isa in Malchut Shamayim, which is a Me'isa in the Beit HaMikdash, and all three happen instantaneously at the moment of the rejection of Rechavam and the taking on Yeravam, because that's what they meant to do. Yeravam said to them, this Beit HaMikdash is not a good idea. And jumping the gun and believing that you are more than you really are is bound to end up an absolute disaster. Because you cannot hold a Malchut together. It's got to come. It's got to come from somewhere. The very fact that people are dissatisfied, he's telling them, this is what he tells Rechavam. The very fact that people are dissatisfied means that they're not ready for this. And that's exactly what happened by Har Sinai. And that's exactly... They're not ready. That's the Kofalei Marchigigig. You're still acting in this way. Shlomo HaMelech didn't get people to go along with him. Yes, he had massive personality, tremendously successful. As long as he was alive, maybe people could be motivated. I mean, even he couldn't keep people motivated. Couldn't keep his own home motivated. Now you're going to be able to keep this up. You've got to be crazy. And indeed, there's a Kenyan tell Rechavam, look, you've got to respond to their needs. You have to be the Eved, because that's what Malchut consists of, ultimately. You have to be able to express them. That accounts for, as we mentioned yesterday, the way that Rechavam speaks in a way that, to us, appears so childish. What does he have to talk about being greater than his father? Because that was the point that Yeravam was making. Your father couldn't hold it together, you can't hold it together. So he may not have, obviously, he wasn't stupid enough to think that he was going to be Chacham from the Chacham Mikol Adam, that he was going to be a greater world conqueror, that he was going to be a greater builder. But he felt he could be a greater Melech because he was less. In that sense, being less than him, I'm closer to the nation and I'm more able to hold things together. I won't do the kind of things that he was doing, but I'll do things in my own way, and that will ultimately show them what a Melech is, which was also stupid, because there was no way to continue the Darga of Shlomo that we saw in terms of the Levana David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam. That's been the theme all along. We talk about the waxing of the moon and the waning of the moon. It's actually built into the process of Malchut itself, that it waxes and wanes. And we find all of these historical currents. You find it across the globe. It's the nature of Malchut, not only the nature of Malchut Yisrael, is that waxing and waning is part of the human condition, which you need to go through again and again in iteration. Issues that appear, they appear again and again. And you could be cynical and you could say history repeats itself. And in a sense, yes, in terms of the primal issues, it does repeat itself. You could say the same thing about all literature. You've never gone really outside of the primal characters that Shakespeare has defined. You've never gone outside of the classical Greek texts. That's both true and untrue. It's obvious that the growing level of sophistication, while being much less powerful, and that's the liba that's chaser, it's much less powerful because of the fact that it's not as primal. But it's also, in its detail and in its sophistication, gives you a completely different insight into that which is primal. And so even though Maaseh Avot Siman Habanim, the development of the entire book and all of the history of Yisrael, is a completely new insight into those Maaseh Avot Siman Habanim. And this is what it's all about, in a way. This is what Yeravam was saying. I can be in the field with Achia Shiloni, and I'll be wearing a Simla Chadasha. And why is that? Moshe Rabbeinu never said my Torah? No. What do you mean? Everything that Talmid Vatika Tidachadeh. That's great. It was in that Torah, but it was never expressed. This is the Simla Chadasha. And when the Gemara talks about that some kids came in here today and they said things that hadn't been heard from the days of Yoshua ben Nun, nobody had been heard. That is true. That is true, that there's a much deeper understanding of those primal issues. So that there will always be, and we see in Eliyahu HaNavi, he constantly brings back those primal words. Always talking about primal words that's jogging our memory to, hey, wait a minute. Isn't that an implication of those words where it was in the Torah there and those words when it's in the Torah there? That's true. But the idea over here is to try to bring it into a malchut which develops. So we saw that Achav has got his approach that's based on Yeravam and believes that deep down, and that was the test at the Carmel, which becomes the test of Elio at Har Sinai itself, and his comparison to Moshe, so that there are indeed two completely different streams. We thought that we'd be able to, at that early point, put them together. They were not able to be put together. It's only Malachi who closes all of the Divrei HaNeviim with Zichru Torat Moshe Avdi. So there we understand that the primal Torah is the Torah of Moshe, and continues with the words, that it's indeed Eliyahu and Moshe together that represent the beginning and end of a process. And that's why we find these literally dozens and dozens and dozens of comparison in the Midrash between what Moshe Rabbeinu, what Eliyahu HaNavi is doing, between the places, the words, every last element, the vision that Moshe Rabbeinu had in the Nikrat HaTzur, which becomes the Ma'arav Eliyahu, which, as the Rambam says in the Mora Nevuchim, is the expression of all of the potential of the universe. And all of that was given to Moshe. It's all there. But it's necessary for there to be a Shiv Lev Avot Al Banim, which is the ultimate. The Lev Avot is the ultimate Avot, not one generation. So that a final generation be reconnected to the original vision of where it came from, and that is the essence of what this man is, which is why he no longer has a particular place in space-time. That's why we view him as being this mystical, almost metaphorical figure, in which the appearance of such an individual is a tear in the fabric of time-space, in which all of us, even in our own personalities, experience this momentary understanding of what things are really about, and then we sink back into our normal quotidian existence, and this is exactly what begins now. Once Eliyahu HaNavi is taken away, and essentially and now, although he's still around, he's been fired. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Yef shibinu v'atcha." Because what you're doing is trying to undo what Yeravam had achieved. And in a sense, you're right, it's horrible. But it's an achievement. It's an achievement of a man who knew what was wrong with Shlomo, who knew what was wrong with David, and went out to do something about it. So it should have been handled in 36 years. That's true. So now it'll be a few hundred years. But in the end, we're going to end up in a much greater darga of sophistication through the Galut of Babel and coming back and rebuilding this house than we had it in the first place, remarkably. And so I can't have this pressure right now, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The kana'ut of a Pinchas and a demand of immediate action. There's no place for immediate action. So we need somebody that is going to fill your shoes in a completely new way. And we're going to see that.
He's kicked upstairs, chairman.
Yeah, exactly. Navi emeritus.
Yeah.
But no, but that's not funny. Because, look, Eliyahu refers to himself as, "I am left alone." We mentioned before, okay, what does that mean, I'm left alone? I mean, there's all of the Nevi'im that Ovadia had, and immediately afterwards, when he goes and he appoints Elisha, we find that there's whole schools of Nevi'im. There's B'nai Nevi'im. And there's selected Yonahs around. He's sending Yonah, Michayu is going to be sent, and Elisha's got a lot of people that he's talking to over there who are B'nai Nevi'im. So what's happening is that there's a new school, and the Midrash points this out. We have the school of Shmuel, who was in fact the one, as it said before, that up until that time, the Dvar Hashem was Yakar, by Yomim Ha'im, part of the Gemara we learned today, the nature of Yakar. And that period ends, basically, with Eliyahu, in which the function of the Navi is a function of appointing kings. The last work that Eliyahu himself does, appointing kings, appointing a derech, being the direct giving over of the Dvar Hashem. And now we'll see that Elisha is the head, becomes now the one who is the Mishamish, and there's a reason for that. The Makor that we have in every Gemara of how great Godol Shimusho Yoter Mitalmudo is the closing word, Vayisharateu, of the parak that we had yesterday. Vayisharateu? Is that really what it's about? I mean, isn't that he learned? Wasn't he going not to serve Eliyahu? Wasn't he going to learn from Eliyahu? Wasn't this his lifetime dream? To be able to, at that moment that the Aderet Eliyahu touches him, he's moved to the core, leaves everything behind, changes his entire life, gives up Olam Hazeh. Gives it up for what? Not to learn, to be Mishareh? And indeed, the Gemara identifies him later as the one Asher Yatsak Maim Al Yedei. That idea of Yatsak Maim is the ultimate Sherut. He's going to pour water. That's the pouring water that we saw earlier that went all around the Ta'ala. Indeed, it says that was Elisha whose fingers turned into Ma'ayanot and filled up the entire Ta'ala. So it would be Kechatzara Mishkan. It's one of the Midrashim. But the function of Lisharet, try to understand the difference in the Limud versus the Sherut. When it comes to Eliyahu, it's Kula Limud. Why is it Kula Limud? Because Sherut defines the integration of the Limud with action within the world. That's what Sherut is. Let me take this and make it happen. The one time Eliyahu tries that is a disaster in his life. He gives up on life. Because to him, actualization is not planting seeds. It's not giving some sense of where things have to go. It's actualization. It didn't happen, is what he says. He was left with these childish tricks. I'm not interested in living the life of a child, of some kind of charlatan, mad, religious figure, walking around with long hair and goat skins. What's the point of this? And in Achinami, at this point, begins the period of Sherut Aisharateu. So that the way in which something is actualized becomes more important than the way that it's thought about. And that's why this is the first time that the Gemara is able to bring a raya that Gadol Shimusho Yoter Milimuda. It's a different world. And it's a world that requires, how do we know Gadol? Because that's exactly what Elisha tells Eliyahu, as we're going to see. I need twice as much as you have. You think it's a big deal to understand. I'm telling you, it's a bigger deal to be able to translate that into a world of all types of hypocrisies and compromises and still come out being what you are. No question about it. And Eliyahu understands that and says to him, if you're able to connect to me at this moment, well, as we'll see later, then you will have what you request. So it's Dafka, the siluk of Eliyahu, that leaves the Iker Sherut of Elisha, which means it's a completely different type of school. And at this point, the Nevi'im become more like magicians. And the text becomes almost silly in terms of describing trick after trick. Little stories, vignettes of events that take place that seem to have very little impact on the world scene and that provide some type of religious backdrop to the way people are thinking. And so in the same way that it affected Eliyahu, there's an effect on Achav. The effect on Achav is that he's left with a residual image of what it is that his malchut is about. But it's not constantly the way that he responds. As opposed to David, where every last aspect of his life, as opposed to Shlomo's vision, where every last aspect of the response of the melech is in terms directly of his being the representation of what it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants in the world, and what it is that is Mekadesh Shem Shamayim. Clearly, Achav is a Rasha in that sense. He doesn't really care on a day-to-day basis. Doesn't care because he thinks it's bad to care. Doesn't care as he told Eliyahu, you're an Ocher Yisrael. The demands destroy Yisrael. So I don't believe it's important. Avodah Zarah is not important. Ancient curses are not important. Moshe Rabbeinu's curses are not important. Give me this business about the weather being dependent in our actions, for God's sake. Until you came along, we were doing just fine. So it's much better to lead a life where you're not really ready to be part of a world of God and a vision from Olam Haba, is to lead a normal, decent life. That's far more important than to have these weird ideas that you have that do nothing but make problems. Here he's left from that moment of standoff. Remember, it's the first time in Achav's life. It's an amazing scene where we actually see Achav as an individual, as opposed to Eliyahu as an individual. There's none of the assertion of the Malchut at all. He's literally accepting a madman dressed like a primitive caveman in a hairy aderet and a leather belt, big fat leather belt, walking around as like a Viking. And here he's coming to talk to the king, and the king is terrified, recognizes him as an equal. And they're arguing with each other. Oh, you understand how strange that vision? Just visually. Just imagine the scene. I mean, it's absolutely mind-boggling. Here you've got like the leader of the world, basically. He's got hundreds of representatives from other countries that have to send him their children as surety that they're not going to rebel against him. Like, over 200 children of other Malachim from across the globe that are just Messiah Levituno here, that are going to show up in this war. And he's talking to this weirdo as if they're equals and having a serious discussion. Absolutely. This brought him down to the guts of the nature of his own Malchut. So here he is left after this attempted synthesis in which Eliyahu runs in front of his chariot to show really what is this chariot about, Malchus Yisrael. In the end, it's what it is that I run before. And that's the Eliyahu of the future. So that we met the once and future Eliyahu. Now we need to meet the once and future Achav. Because left to Achav is this residual potential of acting like a Melech Yisrael. And so in the same way that Ezevel sent a message, I swear to God, tomorrow you're no different than any of them. The very next thing that happens is a war in which Achav gets exactly that message. So that it's Mida Keneged Mida of what happened before and gives him an opportunity to come to his self in the same way that Eliyahu responded to that message by coming to his self. Uben Hadad Melech Aram kavatz et kol chelo. And so here Ben Hadad has been on an international conquest swing. He's got Shloshim Ushnayim Melech Ito Vesus Varacha. And he's going along now. He's conquered 32 different kingdoms. He has them with him. And a massive army. And he goes now to attack Shomron, and he besieges the cities. And sends messages to Achav. Ko amar ben Hadad. So says Ben Hadad to you. Kaspecha uzavcha lihu. Your silver and your gold is mine. V'nashecha uvanecha tovim lihem. Your wives, your children, it's all mine. Does this sound familiar? Absolutely. He's coming from Aram. Who said those words before? Lavana Arami. So what we have over here is now the residual in exactly the same way that we have today, the Armenian quarter. Aram still has its tvisa in Eretz Yisrael. The last of the umot that comes now to say it's all ours, really. Lihu. V'chol ma'ashataro e'er. Lihu. We're going to see the next thing that Lavan said coming in the next message. Here's the first part of the message. Vayan melech Yisrael vayomer kidvorecha, Adoni ha-melech. Indeed, it's exactly as you say, my master the king. Lecha ani. V'chol asher li. I am yours. And all that is mine is yours. He gave up. He recognized that he was completely outgunned. And then they come back after giving over that message. And now they have a new message from Mr. Lava. You sent me a message saying, you're going to give me everything. I want to go through your tents. You. Huh? Oh, sorry. Say that again. I sent you a message yesterday telling you, and you acceded to that message, I want to have yours. Well, remember those words. So at this time tomorrow, what's the next thing that Lavan Arami did? He went through the tents and used this word, chipes. That's the word that's used. He went searching through the tents to find everything that was his. And then Yaakov tells him, "Nu chipasta b'chol, you looked all over. What'd you find?" So v'chipsu et beitecha, they're going to go through your house, v'et batei avadecha, v'ayakol machmad einecha yasimu v'yadam v'lakachu, anything that you like. That's what they're going to take. What do you say to that? Vayikra Melech Yisrael l'chol zikne ha'aretz. So the king, now all of a sudden he's called, now the, as we see, Melech Yisrael. He's been now the Melech Yisrael 3 times. Eh? So he's the Melech Yisrael who's now sending to all of the Zakanim, and he says to them, Vayomer de'una, ura'uki ra'azem evakesh. This guy is now talking about evil. Kisholach elay l'nashay l'vanay l'chaspila z'aviv alo manati bimeno. Look, he asked me for everything. Everything personal he asked me for. And I had nothing to say. I told him, you can have anything you want. But this is intolerable. So what indeed is the this that's intolerable? I mean, after all, everything that is mahamad, certainly kesef azav is called chemda. Chemdat kol agoyim. Nashim is chemda. We find that in the Bayekeskel. In Ilokeach mibchat mahamad einecha. That's a reference to his wife. Banim. Zechamat mechamdai. So it's also Lashon Bitnam. It's the Machmadei Bitnam, is children. So what is he adding now by saying, Ko Machamadei Necha, has to be that which is Chemda beyond Chemda. Say Chazal, he demanded, HaNechamadim Mizahavu Mipazra. Up until now, I'm talking about your women, your children, your money. I want to say for Torah. So you guys believe that you're special. That's the only thing you are, the people of the book. Some say he wanted the Sefer Torah of the Azara. Some say he wanted the Sefer Torah that Achav had written for himself as a melech. But the point is, say Chazal, Achav said, up until now he's been asking me for things that are mine. My wife, my children, my money, that I can give him. Sefer Torah is not mine, I can't give that to him. Calls together as a Zakenim. So this is not the Achav we're used to. This is an Achav who's willing to give away his wife and children to become a vassal. But the moment that it touches on the underlying identity, which is what Eliyahu has left him with. Okay, but Achav, now we're not talking about a secular relationship. This guy is making it good against evil. Ra'azim evake. You're willing to go along with that too? This is not up to me. This is an am that are all rishayim. Al tishma v'lo tove. Do not respond positively to this. Make no response. Do not agree. It's unbelievable, the gila that we see all the year of what was really driving these people. So, fine, and you know, you could talk to me about liberalism and multiculturalism and everything else. But the moment that you'll touch on the underlying sense of our identity, you've touched a nerve, and now you're not going to make it.
They're not keeping the Torah as such, are they?
Makes no difference. Makes no difference. We know that this is what we are. This is exactly the point that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was making to AWO. It doesn't necessarily matter in the same way that you are unable to actualize your vision. They're unable to actualize their vision. You have a problem with that. All you do is sit around and scream all day. Day and night, that's all I hear. I can't take it, I can't take it. It's a terrible world. I'm looking for perfection. No, so do something about it. So what do? Silliness. So what is it that you want exactly? How do you expect a world to develop because you want it to develop? You want to keep the world going? Fine. Keep it going. But be prepared for a couple of millennia. Don't think this is going to be. And that's today's Gemara that we had. Ad zikna niezbo. It's ad zikna. It's ad seva. Human beings right now are teenagers. And we're talking about waiting until they have gray hair. That's going to take a long time. Until then, I'll tolerate it. If I can tolerate it, you can tolerate it. There's the Kadosh Baruch Hu arguing to Elisha from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu himself. Lama Hashem yecherabcha be'amecha. So the story of the development of Yisrael is the story of the development of humanity, and there's no way to rush it. And so he turns back and points out the Medrash, Ein lecha dor chayav kidoro shelacha. There's no generation that we find as being more, I mean, an entire generation, except for 7,000 people. Vishartu b'Yisrael shivat alafim abirkayim asher lo karu labaal. And another medrash says, those shivat alafim were worshipping Avodah Zarah. It's just that they were never karei labaal. They didn't go that far. It's not as if they're big tzaddikim. Ve'in lecha melech rasha yoter mi'achav. This was a guy who was lo miniach Avodah Zarah echad b'yolam shelo avada. And he was the guy who plastered banners up, Achav is kofar b'lo Yisrael. We don't want anything to do with religion around here. And the moment, Kishishalach ben Adad, al Sefer Torah lekachto, amar lo Achav akol b'reshutcha, chutz mi'Sefer Torah. So bota sha'ah, the Sefer Torah itself came, was mishtateach, lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ribono shel olam, zeh shechamal alai, yinatein biyad ben Adad. So immediately HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent now a novi, as we'll see, that he should be saved from ben Hadad. Vayomer lemalachei ben Hadad, and so he calls in the messengers and he says, all right, look, we've discussed this. Imru l'Adoni ha-Melech. Now he's still very, still trying to be very careful in how he, what was the word he used? Very deferential, very diplomatic. Tell my master, the king, that, you know, we were willing to go along with your original conditions. Kol asher shalach el avdecha, you sent to your servant Barishana in your first message, as that I can do. V'adavar hazeh, but this, lo ukal lasot, I cannot do this. It's obvious, it's something. Something big is going on that the Pasuk isn't telling us. It's not simply the fact that he already agreed on machamad einechem. There's no way to explain it other than the way the Medrash sees it. The malachim go back and they answer his answer. Ben Hadad was not too happy. Okay, sound familiar? The same exact words of Izevah. I tell you, there won't be enough dirt left in Shomron for you to walk on. You don't have any idea the number of soldiers that I have. There's a Medrash puts it. If every one of my soldiers takes one handful of the dirt of Shomron, we've already built a dike up to the top of your wall. Isn't that not a piece of sand left in your country for all of the people that I have with me? You don't know what you're dealing with over here. Look, Ola Amasherberg, you guys don't have a chance. You are dead. Shals, I mean, one footstep. Right? Shalim is Midrach Kafregel. It's a lotion of... Vayan Melech Yisrael, where he's no longer being diplomatic. Vayomer, and he says, just tell this guy one little word. Dabru, Ali Talel Choger Kimifateach. Don't be so hasty to sing the praises of the guy whose sword is still sheathed, as if he were the one who had already opened it and fought in war. You haven't won anything yet. So let him not jump to conclusions about the future. And the Medrash says, I am a Mifateach because I'm a Melech ben Melech. And you're an upstart. And that's the bottom line. So don't be so arrogant. And that drove him crazy. God, he hears that. And meanwhile, he is drunk. I mean, he's completely drunk. All these other kings, they're with them. Basukot, and according to the Medrash, this is really Sukkot, which is where Yaakov went when he came back from Lavan. So they're on their way now. They're going to take over the whole thing, you see. Vayomer avadav. That little no good. Simo. All right, start. Put the engines now of war. We have the Tolkien Roman, you know, they're all coming up here with the from Mordor. Vayasimo alayir, and they place their battering rams and their cannon around the city. And some navi, we're told in the Seder Olam, this refers to Michoyo, but it's not even important, but it's no longer Elio, one of the school. So a navi goes over to Achav and says to him, Vayomer ko amar Adonai, hara'it et kol ha'amon ha'gadol hazeh? You're suitably impressed with all of this massive army. I'm going to be giving them over into your hand today. And you will know that I can still do, even for someone like you, miracles. Vayomer Achav, me. Okay. Who is exactly going to be fighting this war? I don't have any people. Vayomer ko amar Adonai, b'nahrei sarei ha-medinot. You know all the boys that you took from the different countries that you've been raising? So the Medrash says, this is absolutely astonishing. So he takes now these 232 kids that he had taken originally as guarantors for the behavior of their parents, the kings, the royal families of all of these different countries that had agreed to pay tribute. In case you're thinking of Merida, think about your kid's head, which was a common tactic. Says the Medrash, when they came and they lived with Achav, they all became tzaddik and gemurim. We're mitgayer. What? How did that happen? And they, in fact, became the leaders in the Shemra, but that's what usually happens. The gerim are the ones that are dragging the Jews back. who's the one that's usually the goya that you marry that makes you religious? The common stories. This is what happens. He brings in all of these guys. They're the ones who become the new Frumer.
So. Good thing they didn't have all the rabbis, you know.
They would have made sure nobody's in there. Yeah, for sure. So he goes and he says, Vayomer, Miyesor, a milchama. I mean, but somebody's got to lead. Who do we have that could lead? You. Vayomer ata. You are going to go out in front, and you are going to attack these million soldiers with your couple hundred men, and you're going to be the general. What do you think of that? Apparently, this is coming at the end of a long series of defeat. He's now back in his city, and they're all surrounding him. And up until now, he was a big king over Aram. So now, I mean, again, as usual, we're not given the details because it's unimportant to us, because this is not a history book. And here he is facing down Ben-Hadad, who not long ago, he was, and we're going to see, unfortunately, at the end of the story, that he still feels very close with Ben-Hadad. And we're brothers, and so on, as he calls him, back to his multicultural approach, which destroys this whole thing. But anyway, why jump ahead and look at the horrific end when we already know what happens? So, yeah, as usual. As usual. It's amazing living through this. I mean, the same exact thing happens to us, you know. You got 10 million Arab soldiers. You got thousands and thousands of tanks and airplanes. And the Jews don't have a chance. All you want to do is make enough batei kvarot.
We got to be nice and to...
And then it all comes your way. And what do you do? No, don't give us over the keys to the waf. Chas for shalom. You're the guys, our brothers. No, don't run away. Please, don't run away. Anything but run. You made that mistake once. We want you, our brothers. It's unbelievable how this is built into the insane Yisrael psyche. But anyway, this happens again, of course, and we're meant to see this as the dugma for how history works out for us. Yeah, but this is the crisis. Now he's claiming that Eliyahu's approach is no good, going back with Izebel. That's why this whole thing uses the words of Izebel. This is his crisis mode. Now this is given him to choose. What deep down do you really care about? That's why he gives him two messages. It's an amazing thing to see a king who's ready to give away his wife, his children, everything he owns, become a vassal, have nothing, but this, we're going to fight. It's a beautiful, beautiful picture. It's absolutely astonishing. And so, I mean, and sometimes that's what it takes. Look, take a look at the Second World War. I mean, Hitler will take this. Yeah, okay, take that. Take this. Yeah, take that. It's only where you can see that, no, it's taking civilization. Then you're willing to fight. But as long as you believe you can appease, and that's what he's saying. Look, I gave him everything. This guy, he wants something. It's bad. He's looking for something bad. And it's at that moment that you realize you better wake up. And so Achav goes out. He goes and he takes these children that had come from these other countries. And Vayumatayim Shnayim Ushloshim. He's got 232 men, which amazingly are not even his own people. V'achareihem pakadet kol ha'am kol b'nei Yisrael shivat alafim. And these are the shivat alafim that he could rely on as birkayim shelo yishtachavu labaal. 7,000 people to fight for a Sefer Torah. It's only roi to be the 7,000 people who've proved loyal to that Sefer Torah. So now he's going to be meeting this army with this. It's a joke. Vayetzu batzoharayim, and they go out of the city. Now, obviously, the entire psychology of Ben-Hadad and his soldiers was they're in a siege mode. In other words, they understand that Achav thinks he can withstand the siege. It never occurs to them that Achav actually is going to attack them. I mean, that's ridiculous. They attack us. It's just a matter of how long he can hold out. So he thinks he can hold out long enough. That's why that Medrash is saying, yeah, you can hold out. I'll have each soldier take a handful of sand and that'll be the end of you. You're not going to hold out. Okay, so there, meanwhile, Ben-Hadad, they are living it up. As far as they're concerned, they're not in a war. They're in a siege. He and all of his men are drunk. U-Ben-Hadad shote shikor basukot. He's got these 32 kings over here that are helping him. And it's the middle of the afternoon. They open up the gates. He's got all these foreigners walking out in front. So Ben-Hadad's people sent to him, they send this message to Ben-Hadad. They don't even see them as being soldiers. They didn't spot anything. They were so completely blinded. So they saw, they said, there's people. They didn't even say there's soldiers. There's people. There's people coming. It must be, those must be the diplomats. These are the international people. So he said, they're trying to arrange a truce. So Yatsumi Shomron. So Ben-Hadad says, well, half drunk, if they're coming out from peace, grab them alive, and if they're coming out from war, alive, grab them. Which is a little bit strange way to, but the truth is, of course, that the message is that we're going to treat them in a different way. If for their war, I want them alive so I can torture them to death, then it's the fact that they're alive that's important. If they're coming for diplomacy, I want them captured that's important. He's not totally drunk. So his words make perfectly good sense. So in other words, I don't know, if they think that they could still ask for terms, that's milchama. If they're just coming for a surrender, don't let them walk around free. So meanwhile, these are coming out of the cities, and this is the ones that they were, even though they weren't identifiable, apparently to the half-blind who expected nothing like this, are convinced that the gates are opening for who knows what, I mean, some kind of negotiation. And then there's this small group of soldiers after them, and they attack. Vayaku ish isho, vayanusu aram, vayir defem Yisrael, vayimaleit benadad melech aram al susu farashim. And so they attack, each one goes out, attacks whatever is directly across from him, and look at this, they actually are able to wipe them out. This is all, but it's the lack of his focus here that allowed this to happen. And Ben-Hadad now is reduced to running away on Susu Parashim. And then after this original battle, out comes Achav. Vayetze Melech Yisrael vayachet Asus v'tarachev v'yikob aram makah gedolah. Now he comes out and with the normal army, I assume, and goes out to destroy the weaponry v'yikob aram makah gedolah. After that first runaway, he now spreads his soldiers out and they take an immense casualties of in Aram, including their weaponry. Vayigash Navi El Melech Yisrael. So the Navi comes to Achav, who now doesn't have a name. He's just called the Melech Yisrael. Vayomer Lech Itchazak V'Darei Asher Taaseh. You've got to go all the way, as strong as you can. Make yourself stronger. It's time to engage in a rapid rebuilding of forces of the Yisrael army, because you should know and get your plans in order. This has been a skirmish. This is not, you've not defeated Aram. And it's what it is that you are going to do, and you're going to prepare, that is going to pave the way for the future. So we've seen the effect of an attempt at a synthesis on Eliyahu. Eliyahu basically gave up after seeing how these types of artificial ways of bringing together the Malchut with the ideas of Shlomo doesn't work. But now we're taking a look at the effect on Achav. What happened is that Achav, we find that when he was attacked initially and the message comes to him from Ben-Hadad, he is unable to respond. He says nothing. He says, Kidvarech Adonai HaMelech, whatever you say. So the Navi comes to him and tells him, Al Pines, so you're going to be Nitzal, you see all of this, you're going to be Nitzal. He is so convinced that he can't be the one to be Matzil. But even after the Navi gives him apparently an understanding of how it is he's supposed to deal with the situation. Use the Nare Sareya Medinot. Make now the Melech, the at least the people. I mean, it's not referred to as people. It's referred to Ben-Hadad himself. In other words, the ones on the watch who are supposed to be keeping tabs of what's happening in the Milchama. They're the eyes for Melech Aram, and they'll see them as a diplomatic attempt, you know, sort of sending out the Sareya Medinot, and indeed they don't identify them as soldiers. It's a Yatzu Anashim. Ben-Hadad's response is, well, okay, so then make sure that you grab them, even though they're under a white flag, but they should serve as prisoners anyway. These, of course, were the very people that represented Achav's power. I mean, there are 230 different Medinot, essentially, that he's in charge of, and he's keeping their kids as a warranty against their turning against him. So he's sending them out to represent Yisrael. Behind them come the 7,000 that he himself understood from what the Novi told him, that these are going to be the ones, Shivat Alafim, are obviously a reference to the same Shivat Alafim Shalokoru Labal. So therefore, he is convinced that he cannot be the one that's going to be in charge of this army. I mean, he thinks if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do a Nes, certainly. I mean, so that's a level of understanding in which I realize I don't have a chance as a secular melech. if you're going to do an ace, I assume you want to send the tzaddik out in front. She says to Navi Tim, no, you're the one that's going to be leading this. Here's Mamish, an opening at the beginning of the battle, an opening for him to feel that there's a makom of tikkun for himself, in which he will be able to enjoy the Nisei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now at the end of the battle, the most amazing thing happens. We look at it as a small thing. The Navi comes to him, and it's not that he just comes to him. Vayigash HaNavi al Melech Yisrael. So first of all, it doesn't come to Achav, it comes to Melech Yisrael. Which means that this is, the word Vayigash is always a very powerful word. As we know, Vayigash itself is a coming into profound context. We find the Lashon Vayigash, L'milchama, L'bakasham, it's not a small word. This isn't a message being whispered in his ear. This is a desire for a complete turnabout. Vayigash. So he tells him, Lech Yitchazek. What this means is that what you did, your original response to Ben-Hadad, which came from a complete breakdown in any sense that you had of being able to represent the power that you really are, which is Melech Yisrael, until he touches on the Sefer Torah, that something in you responded. It's time for you to take that. Rebuild yourself. Yitchazek. Be strong in yourself. V'da ur'e et asher ta'aseh. It's time for you to look at the situation, realize what needs to be done, because now you're going to have, in 1 year, you're going to have the same challenge, and this challenge you have to handle on your own. So now we've helped you out, min hashamayim, and you see what you can be. Take advantage of this possibility and go out and build yourself up again so that now you become, indeed, the synthesized Melech Yisrael who's able to maintain some level of awareness of the value of a Sefer Torah, and that you're able to go out with that kayach and fight your battles. Okay, back on the side of Aram. V'avdei melech Aram avleilam. Well, you know what just happened? I mean, this is crazy, but it was Elohei Harim Eloheim. Okay, chasku mimeno. You know, I mean, he had a local god. We know that he is a god who lives in mountains. You know, his temple's up there in the mountain. They got a temple up in the mountain.
That was
so these are the god of the mountains. And therefore, we made a mistake of coming to attack him in the mountains. Fight them on the plains. Watch and see him. You'll see we'll be stronger than they are. This is all like a childish superstition. Of course, there may be another explanation. Maybe that the people that you had with you were... very hoity-toity. They think that they could be sitting there getting drunk with you instead of being out there taking responsibility for the war. Get rid of the kings. Don't bring out kings with you. Haser ha-melachim ishmi mekamot. These guys are not interested in fighting. They're interested in getting drunk, like you, but we won't say that. V'sim pachot tachteyam. And instead, put the governors in their place. These guys like to make a name for themselves and risk their lives for it, you know, with glory. King's never going to risk his life. And now you don't have to be any stronger than you were before. What we need to do is we need to show that indeed with exactly the same original army, simply, you lost a certain number of soldiers, replace those soldiers. You lost a certain number of susim, vesuskesus, certain number of tanks, rechev karechev, but do not go out to strengthen yourself. Because that's the whole point. The Lord wants to show that given the right circumstances and the right leaders of the army, we shall overcome. They turn this whole thing now into a battle of the gods. So now we'll go out, and so Ben-Hadad, the idiot, that's all that needs to be done. Yes, Rabbi.
Shomron is on a mountain, but it's ringed by mountains except on the side to the sea. And according to Professor Adam Zartal, he found 14 stations from the time of Bayit Rishon, like lookout posts on the ruins, and that you're going to use the mountains themselves as your forward outlooks and as part of your protection. He holds the same thing is true in Yerushalayim. You use the mountains around as a ring. So the sense of Lehi Arim, this is a person who used the mountains to his advantage. That's the way Sharon is said naturally. So not excusing it, just fits in very well. We weren't on our ground. And now we're coming up to a fake on the whole play.
Bring us a fake. Okay. This time it's working.
This is a face-off between Aram and Yisrael. And Aram, one of the capitals of Aram is the Mesir, which is to the northeast of the heart of Eretz Yisrael. It faces off against the Hermon, with rivers running through it, very powerful center. And then Shomron is all the way back in the heartland of the main mountain backbone of Eretz Yisrael. The city of Shomron is a little bit northwest of Shechem. It's only really a few minutes' drive from there, near Har Griz and near Har Evel, and it's nestled between hills. And Adam Zartal explains that on three sides there's a ring of mountains which are higher than Shomron. You didn't have the city on the highest hill. You used the topography as protection, and they found 14 outposts in their survey of the land of Menashe, 14 outposts from this time, from Bais Rishon times, to be part of the protection of Shomron. And it's, I'll go outside of the ring to fight. So when he says, Elohe Ha'arim, that we were not on our best advantage because we were fighting in this mountainous region, there's some grounds to that perception that the topography was against them and they were fighting on the better ground. That's correct. Then Yisrael is a little bit to the north of Shomron in Emek Yisrael. That's the other place where Achab is operating. Now they say, let's go find them in the Mishur. The normative approach in historical geography is to say that a fake, where the battle is in the Mishur, is in the Golan Heights, opposite the Kinneret, on the flat plain. A fake, there are at least three afakes in Tanakh. It's just where water comes out, either where that's a spring or water gathers, etc. And so that Yisrael is coming northeast, and the Mesek and Aram is coming southwest, and this is the battleground. And then you can run past the edge of the Kinneret into Emek Yisrael, which is where Achav is fleeing to. Rebbe brings that there's another approach, that since the whole fight of Achav was for the care of the Sefer Torah, there was a tikkun of the loss and the misuse of the Aron HaBrit by the sons of Bnei Eli, and that we're talking about the Afek over here, which is in a triangle between Lod and Yafo. Afek is where today Rosh Ha'ayin, where the springs of the Arkon River come out and then flow into the sea by Tel Aviv. And there's a 2 kilometer strip. There's a 2 kilometer strip there between the mountains and between the water source where armies would always march through, but the battle would be the Bedafka over there on that plain as a tikkun of the care of the lack of the care of the Torah earlier on.
Vayili tshuvat hashana, vayifkod ben Hadad et Aram, vayal afeka lemilchama im Yisrael. And so it was a year later. And this is meant to be tshuvat hashana, it's literally a year later. This was like a tikkun on the yard site of the ones that had the aliyas neshama of all of those dead soldiers, you know. So they came out on the yard site to Afek, to fight there on the plains with Yisrael. Uvnei Yisrael hot poktu v'chol kelu v'yelchu l'kratan. And so here he had his army set up with all of their supplies, and they go out to beat Aram. V'yachan uvnei Yisrael k'negdam, and comparing Bnei Yisrael to the armies of the Aram was absolutely a joke. And they were kishnei chasifei izim. The Aram milu at aretz. You know, you have little groups of sheep on the mountains where you're machasev. You expose the mountains as the sheep go down the mountains. You have now an entire valley filled with Aram and a couple of little, you know, sheep herds that are coming down off the mountain. And this is like they're supposed to face each other. Oh my God. So the yigash isha Elohim. Vayomer al Melech Yisrael, this again according to the Seder Olam, we'll see the comparison Isha Elohim when it comes to Achav is a reference to Michiel, and Achav identifies him later in this way also. He says to Melech Yisrael, Vayomer koma Adonai, look, I want you to know that we're going to do this for you again. You know why we're going to do this for you again? Because they involve now Kiddush Shem Shamayim. These idiots, Yan Asher Amru Aram Elohei Harim Adonai Velo Elohei Amakimu, V'natati Et Kol Ha'amon HaGadol HaZeh B'Yadecha V'Yada'atem Ki Ani Adonai. I'm going to give all of these people, this massive army, into your hands, and that way you will know, as this is always, as the Goyim will know, V'Yada Paro is the V'Yada'atem, because just as he had been Moda to Moshe, Loma Yomru Mitzrayim Leimor, does it really matter? That's always the getter of the Chilul Hashem. Why will the Mitzrim send that? If it wouldn't be for that, we'd be willing to destroy Yisrael. But we don't want the Mitzrim. Or as it says in the Shira, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know, Amarti Afayhem. Yeah, I would wipe them out completely. But I know what they're going to say. They're going to say, Yadenu Rama. And it's Tzureinu that's greater. So, okay, so because of that, even though you're a bunch of no good things, you haven't really achieved what I told you to achieve. But you're going to see that I'm going to give them over to you. But notice that it says, Vayomer twice. Vayomer HaMelech Yisrael, Vayomer Ko Amar Hashem. So what are the different Vayomers? So the Rabbi Yochanan points out that if you have Vayomer twice, it has to mean that there was a separate Sivoy from the first Vayomer. And that Sivoy we see later on from the response. And that Sivoy was that if you get that victory and you take Ben Hadad, you are not to respond to him in any way. He has to be wiped out. He's a prisoner of war, not a potential Ben Brit. No peace. Okay. Vayachanu ela nochach ela shivat yamim. And so for 7 days now, they're sitting there, one connected the other. Because of course, these are the shivat yamim. This is as the Medrash tells us, the schus of Shabbos when they were very, very low. One thing that still remained was that they kept Shabbos, so that there was a relationship at least to that zechus. In Gedola Shabbat, says the Medrash, that even kishinadal dala Yisrael mimasim tovim, lo amdalayam ela lizchus of Shmirat Shabbat. That's why it says over here, Shivat Yamim. So the Shivat Yamim elu keneged elu. So in order that there should be now the zechus of Shmirat Shabbos to be menatzeach. And sure it was, vayi bayom ha-shivi'i, vatikrava milchama. And once again, Vayakuv and Yisrael at Aram, Mea Elef Ragmi B'Yom Echad, they destroy 100,000 soldiers, Vayanusa Notarim, Afeka El Ha'ir. And so whoever is left comes running to Afek to try to protect themselves, and there's so much pushing, juggling, and overweight, Vatipolach Omal Esrim Mishavai Lefish HaNotarim, 27,000 people are wiped out by the fall of the Choma, so they're a little bit of quake, knocks them out, and all that's left, Ben Hadad himself manages again to get away. Naz vayavol ayir cheder becheder, tries to hide out. And it's hopeless because the Jews are on their way. I mean, it's just a matter of time. Till he's going to be taken.
Just the 7,000?
No. He was bechakal the entire army now. This is, on the contrary, the Navi told him, make an army, become a Melech Yisrael again, stop being so passive, waiting for God to do things for you. Take care of it. He still wasn't able to take care of it. And we'll see why. So the servants of Ben-Hadad say to him, you know, they have a reputation of being very soft-hearted, these guys. These are, after all, are Jews. You know, and I mean, look how things have changed. It used to be, you know, you'd get your enemy, you wipe out the whole country, you knock them out. These guys are always nice. Exactly. So, you know, what we need to do is learn to take advantage of the bleeding hearts. There's certainly a way out of this problem.
Right?
Of course, in the deepest sense, Malchei Chesed is a profound insight. That the nature of those who are lochem keneged avodah zarah is that it comes from Avram Avinu, who dedicated his entire aliyah and derech was to Chesed. So by definition, their wars can't be wars of destruction. So it must be that if they only see that we're ready to do teshuva and we're ready to give ourselves, they'll be wonderful to us. You know, if you bring them the key, if the WAF presents them with the key, I mean, obviously they'll give you money and they'll set you up, and you know, certainly not going to be mean.
Possibly.
So I tell you what we should do. Nasima nasakim b'motneinu. Let's tell them we're doing teshuva. We'll put sackcloth over our thighs. The chavalim b'roshenu. We'll turn ourselves into poor, helpless prisoners. V'netzei al melech Yisrael. Let's go give ourselves up directly to the king. Ulay yichayet nafshecha. Maybe he'll give you your life. And so they do this. V'yagru sakim b'motehem. V'chavalim b'roshehem. V'yavol al melech Yisrael. And so he sends now his servants out. He's still in hiding. He's not going to risk his hide, but you go out. So they come to Melech Yisrael, Vayomru, and they say to the Melech Yisrael, Avdecha ben Hadad amar techina nafshi. Your servant ben Hadad, he has begged, he now begs you, please, allow me to live. Vayomer, so Achav said, what? He survived? My brother ben Hadad, I'm so happy. I mean, we've had a long, long relationship. Yeah, like he was going to take your wife, your kids, your you know, long, long relationship, very, very positive. My dear brother, clearly, I mean, now that he's in the, he's won the UN Nobel Peace Prize and so on, I mean, obviously, he's a good guy. Now, the people that were sent out, they were the same magicians who came up with this brilliant idea of Elohei Harim and so on. So all they're looking for is a little opening, you know. So it was basically nichush. We don't know what's going to be, and we don't know how to handle this guy. But the moment that they hear the word Achil, so they vanashim yanachashu, vayimaharu vayachletu. They decide with that word. They hear the word Achil. They don't care what he's saying, obviously. They hear a simen tov. Apparently, this Achav now, it fell into his head. That was his first reaction. So if that's his first reaction, then it's a nichush. So the vayachletu, they defined what to do based on that word, saying, Hamimenu, it didn't come from him, it's clearly a sign from God. Now, in the Masorah, the hey is meant to be related to the Vayachletu or to the Mimenu. And therefore, they themselves gave two possible interpretations. The Yechaltua, they decided what to do based on the logic because they said it was indeed Mimenu. Or if not, then we can determine that this was not from him, but is a sign from God. And they took that word, Achihu, and they immediately turned it around, because first they had said, Avdecha ben Hadad. Now that they hear him calling him Achi, they immediately grab the word, they say, Achicha ben Hadad, yes, yes, we wish to present your dear brother, ben Hadad, Vayomer, bo kechuhu, let's indeed bring him up now to the chariot. Vayetze alav ben Hadad, so ben Hadad comes out of hiding, Vayaleo al merkava, brings him as his brother into the limousine of the king. Vayomer elav, and ben Hadad says, you know, look, I mean, we've had some little troubles in the past, maybe some cities here and there that we maybe took over. I'm going to give them all back, you know, and I'm going to open up the markets of Damascus. I mean, you guys, we'll give you back the Golan, okay? So we'll give you back the Golan. That's always the first. And the markets. I know you Jews like markets. V'chutzot ha-simlach ha-v'damesek will open up the markets of Damascus.
We're going chumash in Damascus.
That's absolutely fool. What chumash? We're going to give you fool. So you open up your markets in Damascus. Kasher sam avi b'shomron. You know, I mean, we used to have a lot of... lot of interrelationships. I mean, it might have been a little bit of arms behind it and so on, but so he says to him, Achav, ani babrit ashalchecha. If we could sign on this, these are the terms of peace treaty, fine. So, vayichrot lo brit, absolutely. They sign off on it, vayishalcheu, and now triumphantly he goes home after the great victory of this classic Arab victory. You know, you lose 150,000 soldiers, give away half of your country, but they signed and they shook our hand, which shows clearly that we won. Absolutely. That's right. Now, meanwhile, the Ishechad mi b'nei ha-Nevi'im Amar, now this again is Michayo. So this Michayo says, Amar el-Re'eu b'dvar Adonai ha-Kenina. He speaks now to his friend, and he's saying this al piagura, that this is supposed to be a simon for Achav, for what it was that is meant to happen to Achav. So he says, Akeni, Vayimaina Ishwakato. The guy says, I can't hit you. What do you, I can't hit you. Vayomelo Yana Shiloshamata Bekoladunai. You couldn't hit me? Inchalechmi Tivikar Ye. You will leave me, and you will be that same old lion. Edo's lion's been waiting around for the next victim. So, he'll get you next. Vayelach me'etzlo, and sure enough, vayimtzeu ha'aryeh. It's not just any old lion, you know. And this lion's been hired for the job a long time. Vayimtzeu ha'aryeh vayakeu, and so the lion gets him too. Now this is also, as we'll see, a simon for Achav. Not only the haka'ah, but the fact that when you don't listen, even though the listening would be to beat someone up, then you take his place, you get killed. So he finds another guy. V'imtza isha cher v'yomer akenina, beat me. V'yakeu ha'ish hakeu fatzoa, the guy beats him until he's bleeding. V'yelech ha'navi, v'yamod la'melech al ha'darech. And so the navi goes and he waits for the king to pass by now on the road. V'yechapes ba'afer, al einav, he puts a scarf over his eyes so that he's not recognized. And vayamelech over v'utzak al hamelech, oh king, look how I've been mistreated. Vayomer avdecha yatza bekerav hamilchama, look at me coming back, hobbling wounded from the war. Vine ish sar ve'avel ha'ish. And here one of the people from the war has got this guy who was a captive, and he hands me over the captive, and he says to me, you got to take good care of this guy, very important information. I want to bring him to the Shabak. And he says to me, Shmor et ha'ish hazeh, I'm warning you right now, imi paked, he paked, if something happens to this prisoner, and you don't take good care of him, v'ayta nafshcha tachat nafsho, we're going to kill you instead of him. O kikar kesef tishko, some learn this means, or if you do take good care of him, we will reward you amply. I was very busy, you know, doing all kinds of things. I come back, and the guy managed to escape. Look how he treats me. You're damn right. You have to be killed. You've said it about yourself. And of course, at that moment, he takes now the scarf off from around his bleeding forehead and uncovers himself. Oh, no, not that guy again. So sure enough, it's him. He knows the news is bad. I sent you prisoner. And I told you, take good care of my prisoner. As the Yerushalmi puts it, do you know what I went through to get that guy to you? This whole war, sticking him, it's the old helicopter story, you know? So I brought the guy to you. And what do? Idiot. The whole idea was to give you an opportunity to take advantage of the backing I'm giving you to become a Melech Yisrael. No more Achav. Melech Yisrael. And look at this, you fool.
Blew it.
My brother, sure. Yan shilach that ishchermi miyah. That's why he calls him ishchermi. The one that I had to trap, kama mitzudot v'charamim paratzti, in order to get this guy, and you throw him away. Fool that you are. Letting out 1,000 terrorists for some stupid reason. Because of that, you're right. Exactly as you just paskin. Your soul in place of his, your people in place of Aram. Vayelech melech Yisrael al beito sar v'zaif. And so he was miserable having heard that, and he knew it was over. And from this point on, that word sar v'zaif we're going to see is an indication of how low he's sunk. He becomes a depressed, completely self-involved idiot instead of a Melech Yisrael. And so he went, we're going to see this language as a very telling language. So he goes angry and upset and depressed back to his house. Vayavos Shomrona, and comes back to Shomron in that state. And that is, as Rashi, the Targum says it, Davai, Nasis V'Davai, which means the Lashon of Sar. Why do we call that Sar? We call it Sar because of the Lashon of Sar Mimenu. So it means Rucho Sar Mimenu. Whatever possible awareness, intelligence, consciousness of who he was, of what he represented, that additional ruach that was given to him as Melech Yisrael, sar mimenu, it's gone. And now he is indeed nothing but a man who is za'if, which is expressed in exactly the same words in the very next parak.